Stop clapping right now for your and my good friend, Josh Johnson, everybody. Let's go. Let's go.
You know, I try to be optimistic about things, everything. So I'm not complaining. I didn't know how to take it. I'm still sort of blown away by it. Like, Trump and Mamdani met in the White House. I don't know if this feels like real life. This is crazy. All right. In case you're not familiar with Zohran Mamdani, he is the mayor-elect of New York City. And he won the Democratic primary, and then he went on to win the mayoral race against not-so-stiff competition. No, it wasn't great. But he, you know, he won and everything, and the entire time leading up the whole campaign, he was campaigned against hard by not just his opponents, but by like special interests, by billionaires, and specifically by the president. The president didn't want Mamdani to win at all. The president was over here tweeting hard. Tweeting like you could tell he was pressing the buttons extra hard on all caps all the time, wanted to let you know he meant business. Ain't nobody playing with y'all. And so he was tweeting, and not tweeting, like not tweet because he got his own thing, he got that Truth Social thing, but like nobody, I don't know anybody who downloaded it, so then everything he tweet on there ends up on Twitter, so he basically still tweeting, but it's just like he has a platform now where he's like the only influencer. Like, I don't know a single other truther. You know what I mean? Like, no one else I know is posting truths but him. And so he's over here, you know, talking about how he's going to mobilize the National Guard if Zohran Mamdani wins. Just, like, really wild stuff. Really hates the idea of him winning. Zohran calls himself a Democratic Socialist, and Trump was like, no, he's a communist. He's a communist in disguise. It's like, I don't even know what that means. That's, I don't know. That's okay, I guess. Man said free pre-K, and Trump was like, that must be communism. You know communists, you know those people that want everybody to eat, you know. He wants a city-run grocery store or whatever. That sound like communism. Get these communist apples out of my grocery stores. Just saying stuff that, I don't know, just didn't really make sense. And for his part, you know, Zohran only really brought up Trump when asked. He wasn't just one of these people that was campaigning on, like, opposing Trump specifically. You know what I mean? Like, and it's wild that those two are supposed to go be in the same place. Jeffy, that's wild. He invited him to the White House. Zohran better than me. I would have been like, nah, that sounds like a setup. I know a setup when I see one. Nah, I'm good. You're not going Fred Hampton me. No way. And look, I get why, like, I really do get why he would go, though. You know, he is the mayor of a city with millions of people who need the resources of the federal government, resources that have been threatened. So I understand going. I'm just saying he's better than me. Much better than me. I've been invited to friends' houses and not gone because I'm like, I think they're mad at me. No, I think it's going to be awkward. I don't know. Might be a tense conversation. Just stay home. But yeah, crazy. Because you got to remember, leading up, it's so funny how how we treat political figures, and not just political figures, but even like historical figures, where there's these cutoff points, there are these checkpoints where we forget everything that happened up until the next point in their story. You know, so now that Mamdani won, a lot of the stuff people were saying, they're just not saying anymore, and everyone kind of forgot it. But you rewind like 2 months ago, hysteria, like real hysteria around the idea of him winning. You know, people were over here being like, Zohar Mamdani, he invented Islam. How we gonna let somebody like that be mayor? You know, if he wins as mayor, the whole country is gonna be under Sharia law. I don't think you know what a mayor does. You had people. This is worrisome. I saw this and I prayed it was fake, and it turns out it's true. The story was getting so much national attention, and everybody was following the race so closely that Tuesday there were people in other states that went to vote for or against Zohran Mamdani. I can't believe how much of this country is missing a civics class. Like, this is terrifying. The idea is so many people would show up in like Virginia and then vote. I mean, it kind of tricked some people into voting. I'm sure there were some people who weren't even gonna go vote, but they were like, I gotta stop this. I gotta stop this terrorist from getting in. And then goes to the polls, doesn't see Zohran's name, and they're like, well, while I'm here. Oh, true hysteria around the idea. Because you remember, there were people who said if he wins, immediately New York is going to slip into the ocean or something. There are some people that don't even understand that Eric Adams is still the mayor. Yeah, I mean, that's why I think politics really sucks for someone who like wants to get in, change things, everything. There were people, so Mamdani wins, and the next day there were people being like, what he gonna do about the potholes? I already fell in the pothole. He's not the mayor yet. Well, he won, didn't he? That dude's going to the White House to meet with the president. President Trump. I think that we think, because he's been in our faces so long, that we really get, that we really understand Trump. I don't think we do. I think that Trump is an enigma, and I don't mean that in a deep way. I mean that... There's two ways to be like an enigma. You can be an enigma by being like a deep philosophical, like Alan Watts type that's just like looking at a star and just like pontificating for the rest of the night on like what it means to already be dead by the time we see you, and be so far away, but it feels like you're in like my peripheral at the same time. But, or you could be an enigma by just walking into a room and be like, blah, 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 blah. We don't really know why either person does either thing. We just sort of know that's what's happening. And so Mamdani goes over to the White House and they have a meeting. And like, there have been a few people that have met with Trump that I genuinely wish I could have been like an invisible man in the room for. There's been some phone calls he's had. I remember first term. It was like first term. He's on the phone with a couple world leaders in one day. Like he's calling Mexico, he's calling Australia, he's calling. And it was the first time that we got a glimpse, because there were leaks of what the conversation was. It was the first time we got a glimpse of what it would be like for him to govern, you know, because he was on the phone. He was talking about, you know, hey, look, I said, he's talking with Mexico. He's like, I said, I would like get y'all to build the wall and everything. Just listen, just don't say you won't build it. I said, you're going to pay for it. Nobody going to check the receipts. All right. We just going to build the wall. You just don't say anything. Okay. They ask you about it. Be like, ooh, I don't know. Just keep saying you don't know. We're going to build the wall and it'll be fine, but just don't tell him. And sure enough, they leaked that conversation. They leaked the conversation where he's like kind of trying to like make a deal, but isn't being the like hard negotiator it seemed like he was going to be on the campaign trail, right? And that first term had a lot of leaks. Because then apparently Trump called again. It was like, what the hell, man? Thought you were chill. And they get in the room. Because you also got to remember, Trump been campaigning hard against him. So it's a little embarrassing to have to invite this dude now. Because you, Trevor, imagine you said all this stuff and then. Dang, y'all aren't gonna like this at all, but the closest thing to what Trump must feel seeing Mamdani of the White House, even though he invited him, after campaigning so hard against him, and then seeing how many people love him and how well he could potentially do. The only thing that's even close to it. In high school, one of our friends got pregnant, right? And she was wondering what she should do, right? And then there was one of our friends that was like, I don't think you're ready to be, you know, a mom. Like, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just saying, like, you're not even passing algebra. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, maybe. Just saying. You were asking our opinion. I'm throwing my opinion out there. Maybe. And then, you know, she had the baby, right? And baby's doing well. She's doing well. And she's still friends with her friend. So now her friend just gotta, like, hang out with this kid she campaigned against. That's tough. That's tough. You know? And so you would think Mamdani coming to the White House and meeting with Trump, I don't know, they're going to get in a room and fight or something. I don't know. Like, because you got to remember, Trump has been on like high alert. He's been tense. Been tense for a while. It's been bad. Everybody keep asking about Epstein. I imagine Trump try to go to McDonald's and order, and they're like, but what about Epstein? Are you? Do you know what I mean? It's a lot. And so he already on edge. This probably isn't the best time to meet him for the first time. That does just crack me up. Imagine Trump really trying to treat himself too, like taking himself to McDonald's in like his car, like not even being driven. And he's like, yeah, can I get 2 Big Macs and a 6-piece nugget? Get a large Diet Coke, another large Diet Coke, and an apple pie. And they're like, sure, anything else? And he's like, a McFlurry, too. And they're like, all right.
Your order is 48.25. What about Epstein? Like, what? Just...
And I just, I don't know. This seems like he's not having a great year, right? And now you're meeting him as somebody he campaigned against hard. And then they're in a room together. Nobody knows what was, like, the vibe in the room except the people in it, which I can't imagine there were too many. And then they left the room, and you're thinking, wow, this is it. Trump probably gonna mobilize a National Guard and everything. It's bad. And then they get out there, and... seems super friendly. It was genuinely insane. I didn't know how to take it. I've been trying to get people to stop fighting all year and listen to each other. There's two people who could be more diametrically opposed on the political spectrum do it, and I'm like, huh, this is uncomfortable. I don't know if I like this at all. Deeply upsetting. And then, you know, Trump sitting there, Zohan standing there. That was a weird dynamic. That was like, that part was uncomfortable. I was like, he's got to stand at the desk like it's show and tell. Like, but then, you know, they're talking to the press, and it's like more than cordial. It's like he's like really hyping Mamdani up. He's like, you know, he really beat the odds and everything, and I admire him a lot. And, you know, he's over here doing his thing, you know, young man, bright future for the city and everything. And I'm just watching like, what? It would be like, this feeling, I'm not even saying this is bad. I don't know if I can trust it yet. You gotta forgive me, you know, I'm black in America. But but I'm telling you right now, watching that press conference, it felt like, oh, y'all are pretty white. You'll understand what I'm saying. Okay. This feels like what I imagine y'all would feel like if you had all your friends come to Thanksgiving, and then just because of the seating, just by accident, your most racist uncle was sat next to like your young black friend, right? And so you're expecting, oh no, this is about to be terrible. And then out of nowhere, your most racist uncle just starts talking to your black friend about a tribe called Quest. You wouldn't be upset. You'd probably be pretty relieved, but you'd also be like, what? Know so much about a tribe called Quest. No. The whole thing was very weird. And I wasn't the only one that was weirded out. Like, I wasn't the only one that was shocked. You know? The media was also shocked. Shocked and seemingly a little upset. Because he's over here hyping Mamdani up. And I don't know if they got the first question, but I think they did. First question. New York Post was like, At first first question was trying to ruin the vibe. It's like, Mr. Mamdani, during your campaign, you called the president a despot, a fascist. Do you regret any of those statements? Did meeting him change your mind in any way? Or do you still hold those beliefs about the president who's right next to you? You know, like when somebody really trying to stir something up? You know when somebody's trying to stir something up and they do that thing where they're like, ooh, I wouldn't take that if I was you. I don't... Ooh, wow. They said that about my mama. I don't know what I would do if you... Ooh, that's bad. Wow. No, you better than me. You better than me. Because I'm not scared to slap somebody. You know what I mean? You know, you see those people who really try to stir something up. They're asking, you know, What do you say? And he was like, President and I have had many disagreements, but I'm glad that we could have a meeting about the things that we agree upon, and it's a future for the city. It's to do well for New Yorkers, and I think that we can work together in cooperation. And then... You even see Trump. You even see Trump just like looking at him like... He finished just answering the question, and then Trump is like, despot, I've been called a lot worse. I don't even know who asked the next question. I saw another clip with somebody just as upset as New York Post was over here. Newsmax or whatever, I don't know who it was, but they were like, yeah, you seem to think that most of the president's tactics were that of a dictator. You actually called him a fascist several times on the campaign trail. Do you still hold those beliefs? And then Trump, out of nowhere, interrupting, out of nowhere, goes, you can just say yes. Like, you can say yes. You can just say yes. It's easier. It's easier if you just say yes. I was like, what is happening? This is crazy. It's like watching Aladdin. And then they went through all that just to, like, hang out with Jafar. You know what I mean? Crazy. What? And look, maybe it's going to be fine. I don't know. That was... I guess you can only have so much energy. You know what I mean? You can only fight so many people. And you also got to remember that, like... Zoran has a real gift. He has a real gift. He has real charisma. He has just a real presence about him. You know? Deeply charming. Even if you don't like his politics, it's hard to admit that he really energizes people. And that's a special thing, especially now, to be a Democrat that energizes people. There's not many. There's not many at all. There's a depressing amount. There's actually so few that I'm genuinely worried about even the midterms. I don't know. This might be bad. Because, wow. Sometimes, especially when you see, like, the top brass, you know what I mean? Like, you see, like, Chuck Schumer or Hakeem Jeffries on TV, and you're like, well, uh-oh. Do you know what I mean? Like, Hakeem Jeffries got the vibe of somebody who is like... Even when he's like low-key trying to do the right thing, Hakeem Jeffries will step up and get in front of you in a way where you're like, oh, don't. Like, you know, like, it would be like if you got bullied at school and then your dad really wanted to do something about it. But you were like, Dad, you little too. Like, you can't. You know what I mean? Your dad's like, no, let me go talk to him, you know? And dad think that just because he a dad, he gonna talk to the bully and the kid's gonna be scared. And it's like, that, y'all eye level, that's not gonna work. And you know, what if he starts swinging? You anemic and everything, like you can't. And so a part of me does get how this could happen because Zoran's actually a charming person. You know, and he's energized people. And you even saw Trump be like, I think that there are some conservatives that are gonna love him too. I'm like, what world are we living in? What? It low key feel like they got in that room alone and Zoran slipped Trump a 20. Like, it's just... What is happening? What did he say to him? But I get it, because, you know, he's actually, you know, a charismatic person, and Trump is surrounded, especially in this second term, more so than the first. The first term, Trump was surrounded by... You know, some sycophants and everything, but mostly people who were very, very deeply qualified and boring. He started out with a bunch of people who really knew how to do the job, and he fired most of them almost immediately because they were like, oh, you can't do that. And he was like, get him out of here. He was firing people hard. That first term, remember, I don't even know how to say his dude's name right. Rince Priebus, what's his name? Rince Priebus. He fired that dude on a runway. Like that dude had to walk back from the tarmac. Maybe I'm imagining it, but I feel like it was raining. Like it was... And then he had to fire that dude that was the White House press secretary, Sean Spicer. The next time we saw Sean Spicer, he was on Dancing with the Stars. And we were like, how? You're not even fit. Like, what's... I don't even know who his partner was, but he was letting her do all the work. He went over here. He'd do that first twirl, and then she'd do 16 spins and come back around to him and everything, and he... That first term, he was surrounded by people, you know, Rex Tillerson. He had all these people around him who, you know, mildly competent but deeply boring. And then they wouldn't do what he would do in their situation. They're like, no, we have to. And they had, like, you know, a little bit of rule of law in there, even though plenty of things were contested as unconstitutional. But there were still people who had a bit of a thicker barrier than I think his agenda and the people around him were expecting, right? And so firing. This time he didn't really have that problem. This time he came in with people fully prepared to do whatever he said, like loyalists, you know. But the problem with, like, sycophants, the problem with loyalists, especially loyalists that are, like, deeply incompetent, is that they do annoy you. Like, they do bum you out. Like, it doesn't even look like he's having that much fun when he gets complimented anymore. Like that first term when everyone would sit around and compliment him, he really looked like he was getting ice cream. Like he was having a great day. You know. This time he's sitting there and then Pam Bondi's like, thank you for being the smartest, most greatest president of all time. And he's like, hey, yeah. Doesn't even feel like she mean it. Like, so to have Mamdani, who knows? Maybe Mamdani, like, gave him a compliment that was like, oh, wow, you noticed? This. Or just somebody who can hold a conversation. That might be different, you know? That might be way different. Trump, you gotta keep in mind how much Trump is surrounded by people who are charisma sucks. Like, they just, like, even when Trump is, like, trying to be funny, I'm sure they ruin it. Trump might even try to make a joke, and then they don't know because they're trying to be a loyalist so hard, they don't even know he's making a joke, so then they're like, do you want us to do that? Do you want us to... It's not fun at all. Yeah. It is a funny idea to me, though, that maybe... Even for, like, who Trump is, he would rather hang out with Zoran than like, J.D. Vance. Like, it's like, the idea... The idea that he also, like, knows the score. Like, the idea that he's around J.D. and he's like, this sucks. This is like... It's like, is he squinting or is he smiling? I cannot tell. Because you got to remember, first term, that dude, who did he have? What did he have? He had Mike Pence. This man was trying to be president, had Mike Pence at every turn, just around the corner, like one of those kids from The Shining, just like, anything you need me to do, Mr. President? Mike Pence too locked in. He was. Like, even when he would do an interview, you'd be like, oh, this is maybe the most humorless person I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, at least JD is cringe. Like, he's, like, trying to be funny. You know, sometimes he'll tell a joke and he'll have his own laugh at the end of it. And it's like, yeah, that's not going to trick us into laughing. That's not how jokes work. There was that weird, he tried to tell some weird joke. I think he was talking to the troops or something. And he was like, you know, I asked my staff earlier, I was going over jokes. We were joking. And I asked them if I should do one of the jokes that I just told that we all laughed at. And they were like, sir, please don't do that one. What just happened? What happened? What was that? That's insane. You are now laughing at a thing we didn't hear. We are not in your head. That's what Trump is around. It's just that guy, or you go to the past and it's just someone being like, so you want to, like, pray? Apparently Mike Pence prayed around Trump so much, Trump started bringing it up. He was like, you got to get rid of this guy. Every time we're alone, he tried to pray on me, and his first one was nice. The next 12 are very upsetting. Oof. You know? Because prayers aren't bad. It's always nice when somebody's like, hey, can I pray for you? I'm always like, yeah. But if they were like, can I pray for you? And I was like, yeah. And then they prayed for me, and I was like, thank you. And then I saw them 5 minutes later, and they were like, can I pray for you? I'd be like, what's happening? What do you... Now I feel like you praying at me. Like, you, like... Now I feel like you prayed something, and it didn't work. Are you trying again? Oh, so then he's in there with Mamdani, and they have whatever conversation they have. I'm sure we'll find out little pieces of it later or whatever. Maybe it's out now. I don't know. I watched the press conference, and that was about all I could take. Because I'm not saying... Here's the thing. I'm not saying that cooperation is bad. I'm not saying that building relationships that benefit people is what politics should be. That's what all the leaders should do, is like put any general differences aside and make sure that they're at least like serving the people that they were put in place to serve. I'm not saying any form of of real cooperation is bad. I'm just saying, like, if this is a Black Mirror episode, I would like to wake up now.